Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus. Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Poore. My guest today is Alan Collins, and he's going to talk about the Biden administration and student debt. There's a couple of things, Alan, that you're a little disappointed with, and let's start off with the person that's going to head the education department. What do you think of that person?
Well, he's pretty much what we expected. We expected a low-profile, unknown person who would have zero experience with student loans. And that is exactly what this guy is. He's a superintendent of some school district in Connecticut, so he checks the box on the K-12, and I guess he checks the box on diversity because he's of Puerto Rican descent. But, you know, we've seen this played out in the past. You know, you get these fairly low-profile education secretaries. They know nothing about student loans going in. This was true of Arne Duncan. He may have been a little higher profile. But similarly, of Betsy DeVos. Nobody knew her outside of, like, the Amway world and Michigan before this before she was chosen secretary. Zero experience with student loans, and Betsy DeVos more than most, but so too with Arne Duncan and John King and Democratic secretaries of education. They essentially let the foxes run the hen house. They let the unelected bureaucrats, the lobbyists, the other student loan interests call the shots, and in the case of Betsy DeVos, literally write the policy. So we're very disappointed in the Secretary of Education. If it would have been somebody higher profile who actually said something about student loans, like Elizabeth Warren, for example, or Bernie Sanders, we would have been far more hopeful. But this has all the hallmarks of a swamp secretary of education. So very disappointed there.
Well, you tried to reach out to Biden in the last couple of weeks of the campaign and you got no response. So you might be disappointed, but you're not surprised, right?
Well, you know, I've talked to Joe Biden. I've talked to his granddaughter. We followed him all around Iowa. I've spoken many times with his campaign manager, at least several times, and they know what we are all about. You know, during the campaign in Iowa, we were very moderately calling on Biden to pledge that as president on day one, he would issue an executive order calling on the Department of Education to stop opposing student loan borrowers in bankruptcy court. That's a pretty moderate request, I think. And to our credit, we were able to convince Elizabeth Warren to make this pledge and put it in writing. We never got this pledge in writing from Joe Biden, but what we did get was a Biden commitment to adopt Elizabeth Warren's bankruptcy plan. So whether Biden knows it or not, he is actually obligated to make that executive order that I just described on day one as president. And we are going to be pushing him very hard to do that. But, you know, Joe Biden's plan in writing was essentially crap. And yeah, we wrote an article 2 weeks before the election saying that it was a very suspicious plan. You know, the loan cancellation that he called for and that I think he's still calling for is going through Congress. So Congress has to pass a law, raise money, take that money, give it to the lending people, the Department of Education and maybe their contractors, in order to cancel student loans. And that is just ridiculous. It's never going to happen, first of all. Congress is not going to raise a tax. They're not going to cobble together $1 or $2 trillion so they can use that money to pay off people's student loans. But more than that, Cynthia, it's unnecessary. You know, the president has all the power needed to cancel all federally owned student loans by executive order. So he can do that without needing to raise one dime of money because, you know, these loans have already been paid for by the taxpayer many years ago when they were originally funded. And this is 85% of all student loan debt, by the way. This is like most student loans in the country can be canceled by the president by executive order. Doesn't require any money, doesn't add anything to the national debt. And so, you know, we started a petition in March calling for exactly that. And lo and behold, while we were a voice in the wilderness for 6 months, Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer picked up on that concept, and they introduced legislation calling on the president, and they are now calling on President Biden to, yeah, cancel student loans by executive order. And so we're thrilled about that. You know, we've got 850,000 signatures on our petition now. Turns out that we were the 10th largest petition in the nation for the year 2020. But then again, just a few days ago, Joe Biden comes out and he goes, oh, I don't think I have the power to cancel student loans by executive order. You know, there are some swamp creatures, you know, defenders of this lending system, and they're trying to claim that the president actually doesn't have the authority to cancel federally owned student loans by executive order. They claim, number one, that it would be a violation of something called the Anti-Deficiency Act, which precludes the president from making an order that obligates the Congress to spend money. And they also say that just statutorily, it would be illegal for him to do that. And the argument there is really very lame. What they're claiming is because Congress has passed laws creating various student loan forgiveness programs, cancellation programs, because of that, that means that the president can't just do it on his own. And that is just nonsense on both counts. You know, in the first case with the Anti-Deficiency Act, the president canceling these loans does not obligate Congress to spend any money at all. That money has already been spent many years ago. Doesn't need to be spent twice. So there's no violation there. And on the second front, that argument is just nonsense. It's just specious. And if you look at the Higher Education Act and from 1965, and that was actually grandfathered law from the late 50s, but read the original text, and it is very unambiguous, very clear, that Congress gave the secretary and by extension the president all the authority needed to cancel, to quote unquote waive, compromise, or release their interests in federal student loans without needing to go through Congress, without needing to do anything. So to hear Joe Biden taking the side of this very lame, weak counter argument that the defenders of the lending system are putting up, that does not bode well for his presidency. And by the way, you know, most people with student loans who voted for Biden, they really believed that Biden was going to cancel all student loans for everybody that earned less than $125,000 a year. That was the way the media reported his position, and that is what people read and heard. And we are now seeing that he is backsliding badly on that. I mean, he really never had any intentions of doing any of that in the first place. But we're going to have tens of millions of very disappointed voters out there in the country.
You know, Biden has said that he was only going to serve one term. So if what he's saying is correct, no, given his age, then he could say anything he likes because he doesn't have to worry about reelection, right?
Well, you know, one would think so. You know, and on the same by the same token, you know, President Trump is still in office. President Trump could cancel these loans on his way out if he wanted to. And so, too, Joe Biden could cancel them in his first and maybe only term. Honestly, Cynthia, with the disappointment that is going to be felt across the country just by the 44 million federal student loan borrowers in the country, Joe Biden may say he's only going to serve one term, but I don't think – I think he would have a very hard time winning a second term if he's going to stick his finger in the eye of 44 million student loan borrowers. Like, it appears that's the start that he's getting off to. But, you know, Joe Biden is a politician's politician. He bends with the wind. He goes where the wind blows. And 44 million pissed off student loan borrowers in the country are enough to generate hurricane force political winds. And so I'm not really even fazed. You know, the future is not set on this. And this is a catastrophically failed lending system, make no mistake. You know, the people in Washington, D.C., they are scared beyond belief at the prospect of ending this payment suspension, because they know as well as I do that almost nobody is going to begin repaying their loans again. It's just not going to happen. Very few people were paying on their loans before the pandemic. By my best estimate, 65% of all federal student loan borrowers were not paying on their loans before the pandemic. And now we're up to probably close to 100% during this pandemic. And what with all the financial damage that's been done to the country, particularly service workers and other people who maybe tend to have student loans more than most, this lending system is dead. It's done. It is toast. Put a fork in it. So one way or the other, these loans are going away. They're vanishing into a mist of illegitimacy as we speak. And I think most rational people, including the people on the other side of this, they see that it's a failed lending system. And at this point, they don't know what to do.
So, you know, you're telling me that, and you're telling our audience that not many people were repaying their loans. So if that's the case, the people who work for these companies, the government, Sallie Mae, whoever the people who loan money, they're going to be calling and harassing people, sending letters to no avail, right?
Well, this could have a really ugly ending. You know, if the president does nothing, if these loans are not canceled, and then yes, people are going to be – there's going to be a wave of defaults, the likes of which we've never seen before. And as I said, before the pandemic, 80% of everybody, they were either not paying, that's 65%, or another 15%, maybe 20%, they were paying and paying and paying, but their balances were going up. So no matter how you slice it or dice it, we are heading towards a default rate of something like 80%, if not even significantly higher than that. So, you know, if the collection industry does what it does, then, yeah, we're going to see a ton of defaults. We're going to see a ton of people be hounded by these collection companies, hounded, harassed, pursued. Their credit score will go down. It will be calamitous for 20, 25 million people. And I just don't think that that's any of that is necessary. You know, the loans could be canceled tomorrow. The government was never going to get even 20 cents on the dollar for that portfolio in the first place. I can only hope that the cooler, rational heads in Washington, D.C. will prevail and see this pandemic as exactly the right opportunity to end this catastrophically failed lending system. You know, we can do better than this, Cynthia. We're supposedly the most powerful and richest country on earth. There's no reason that we can't educate our citizens without enslaving them to a lifelong bond of indenture.
When Biden said, you know, to forgive the student loans, and the people with loans, did they actually believe that? Did they actually say, oh, he's a good guy, I'm going to vote for him?
I think everybody's a little skeptical of anything that Joe Biden says, because nothing that he ever says is very clear. But I think as people looked at the two candidates, you know, Donald Trump had nothing. President Trump had zero. And he, quite frankly, was a disaster in his first 4 years as president. So, you know, to the average student loan borrower, most of whom were losing sleep over their loans, 80%. If you have to pick the lesser of two evils, well, Joe Biden was clearly, you know, what he said sounded good. And whether it's believable or not, that's another question. But if you have to vote for somebody, you may as well vote for the guy who, even if he's lying, says he's going to do something versus the guy who doesn't say anything at all and has done nothing good over his first 3.5 years in office. So, yeah, I think it was the student loan issue by far that put Joe Biden into office. And that's kind of Donald Trump's fault. But I think a lot of people were believing what he was selling, clearly. And shame on President Trump, by the way. You know, this is a conservative issue. This is the worst big government college enriching lending scam in the history of our country. This is something that no true conservative could ever get behind. You know, it's killing the economy. As I said, it's a big government lending scam. Some of the profits of this lending system are being used to fund Obamacare, by the way. And, you know, I take no position on Obamacare. I take no position on the colleges. But conservatives out there hate Obamacare, and they hate the colleges. And so why are they defending and perpetuating this lending system? Why are they not like, you know, like many conservatives outside of the presidency and Congress? Why are they not calling for an end to this lending system? And why did Donald Trump punt on this issue? It's a big mistake on his part.
So this whole thing is absolutely horrific. And, you know, Bernie Sanders talked about it during the campaign, and a couple of other candidates kind of mentioned it. But it never really took off. And with 44 million people who you say are losing sleep, I can't understand why it didn't take off. I can't understand why people aren't in the streets screaming about this. What do you think?
You know, that is the biggest mystery in my mind. Why, how Bernie Sanders possibly could have lost the nomination, you know, with 44 million distressed student loan borrowers. And make no mistake, Bernie was calling for the total cancellation of all the loans. Now, his plan was kind of crap. You know, he called to raise a tax and do all that stuff, which is highly unlikely, but what I mentioned earlier. But nonetheless, it sounded extremely good and was very believable coming from him. And so it is baffling to me. And he was on the way to win the nomination, by the way. And then all of a sudden, South Carolina came along. Right. And the voters just went from night to day. And I don't want to be a conspiracy guy, but, you know, with all the election fraud stuff we're hearing about, some of it maybe a little compelling, maybe not others not so much. I have to wonder if maybe something, some shenanigans were played in South Carolina against Bernie. But barring that, assuming that it was a fair election, I think that maybe all of the other very sort of radical liberal policies and the socialist sticker that got attached to Bernie, I don't know. I mean, maybe that scared people away. Maybe it was the other things about his platform that gave them the willies or something.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's a huge mystery to me. But they certainly did not vote. They didn't not vote for him because of his student loan plan, because his student loan plan was really strong. And so now we're stuck with Biden, like it or not. But, you know, the good news is, Cynthia, that everybody out there with student loans need to realize we own this lending system. It doesn't matter what the people in Washington, D.C. do or don't do. The fact of the matter is that $1.6 trillion that, if it's going to be paid at all, and it is not, but if it were, it would have come from us. So we hold that gold. So therefore, we really control, ultimately, this lending system. I think people need to start looking at their own personal situations very carefully, and they need to start fighting. You know, we did some research over Christmas, Cynthia. This is breaking news, so you heard this here first. But it turns out that there are more people over the age of 50 with student loans than there are people under the age of 25. And that's just an astonishing thing. You know, most people think, okay, most people borrow money in their early 20s, in their late teens. Most people probably pay their student loans off by their, you know, mid-30s or by, you know, their 40s at the latest. And few people would think that many people over the age of 50 even have student loans. But there are more people over 50 with student loans than under 25. And that over 50 crowd, they owe triple the amount that the under 25 crowd owes. And remember also, people in their 50s, when they were in college, they were only borrowing $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000. And they now, on average, owe $44,000 in student loans that they themselves took out for their own college. That really speaks volumes about how predatory and how broken and how just vicious this lending system has become. So I would urge everybody out there, if you're over 50 and you have student loans, don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're alone, because you're not. You are, in fact, in the majority of all student loan borrowers. And we do not have to take this. We do not have to put up with this unconstitutional, indefensible, and now catastrophically failed lending system. You know, at this point, Cynthia, I will just say, it is not only unwise to ever make any payments again on one's student loans, it is unpatriotic. You know, this is a nation-threatening beast, and people should not be feeding this beast. It's not good for the country. It's not good for the tens or hundreds of millions of people that are going to follow in our footsteps.
You know, Biden was elected to serve all the people. And when he is not going to serve the interests of 44 million people, 44 million people, I can't understand how he doesn't have a conscience and feel for them or do anything for them. It's like they don't even exist in his world.
You know, Joe Biden was brought up, his whole career has been spent treating the lower class like doormats and figuring out a way to make it seem like he cared. You know, he was a prime mover and shaker as senator from Delaware in getting bankruptcy protections removed from student loans in 2005. And he's good at doing that. The credit card companies love him. The corporations love him, always have loved him. And, you know, I can't speak for Joe Biden, but the country is in for some major disappointment. I don't look at other issues too closely, but the level of disappointment that is impending on the student loan issue is like nothing we've ever seen before. And Biden had better get ready for that, because this lending system is going away, whether he likes it or not. And there is nothing that Joe Biden or the student loan swamp, nothing that anybody can say or do to alter the fact that this is a catastrophically failed lending system and it is vanishing into a mist of illegitimacy as we speak. They had better inculcate that fact and acknowledge it and do what is the obvious thing, and that is at a minimum returning bankruptcy protections to student loans. But really, does it make sense to throw 25 million of our citizens into bankruptcy court? You know, that would overwhelm the bankruptcy courts at this point to the point of seizure. So that becomes a less and less attractive solution. It's the right solution, at least it was the right solution, but now I think it may be too late. So in addition to returning bankruptcy protections, the loans have just got to be canceled. The president has got to cancel all the loans that he can cancel by executive order. It's time to cut our losses. And by the way, the taxpayers have made a king's ransom on this lending system up to this point already. So these loans could be canceled tomorrow. And the taxpayer may even be breaking even with all the profits they have made over the years on this. So this is a no-brainer. The loans have just got to be canceled. And whether Biden wants to serve a second term or not, he ain't going to get it if this is how he intends to govern.
Okay. If nothing is done about this, and we have just a couple of minutes left, if nothing is done about this, tell us what the economy will look like.
Well, when you have $100 billion a year in interest alone being tacked on to the backs of people who were financially distressed in the first place, 80% of them, you know, these people are not contributing to the economy. They're just not. The $100 billion a year alone in fiscal stimulus that would happen from canceling these loans is not going to happen. And at this point, the people are just beyond done with this lending system. Frankly, more than a bad economy, Cynthia, I could see civil unrest happening in the next 4 years if we get this swamp, pardon my French, bullshit coming from the Biden administration. It's time for some big changes on the student loan issue and on some other issues as well. And Biden had better be very careful because he is playing with fire here. He promised the sun and the moon as a presidential candidate, that he is backsliding even a month before he puts his hand on the Bible and is sworn in. That does not bode well at all. And it doesn't bode well for our economy. I don't know.
No. So your organization is Student Loan Justice, and you have Facebook pages. So tell everybody how they could get in touch with you and join your organization.
Sure. Well, the first place I ask people to go is to our petition and sign our petition. That is at change.org/cancel student loans. And CNN just reported that we're the 10th largest petition in the country, I think I already mentioned. Go there. People can also go to our website, which is studentloanjustice.org. But really where most of the action is on our Facebook group. And so that's just facebook.com/groups/SLJ group. And we're there. We're fighting. We need them, and they need us.
Thanks, Alan. So I'm sure we'll talk again about this issue as Biden takes office. So you've been listening to Alan Collins, All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. And if you like the show, follow us on Twitter. Thank you. Have a great day. Thanks, Alan.